This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Charlotte Flair is the Nature Man's daughter, right?
Nature Boy, Rick Flair's daughter, sure.
He's like in his 70s. He's no longer the Nature Boy. Now he's the Nature Man.
He can be 90 years old, and he will forever be known as the Nature Boy.
Woo! You're talking to the Rolex wearing.
No, I think at some point we have to grow up.
Kids stealing, woo, wheeling, dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun.
The Nature Grandpa.
The Nature Pop-Pop.
And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Last year, I spent more money on spilled liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Well, the big 7 o'clock hour, DPHRO Rothenberg, is always presented by Progressive Insurance. MLB The Show giveaway, not now, but with it, I will make you this declaration. Within the next 20 minutes, we will give away MLB The Show, and which is a big deal.
Woo!
By the way, apparently I've struck a nerve. RJ, are you one of these wrestling goofs? Like are you one of these people?
Why do you got to insult the wrestling community? I don't pay much attention now, but back then, like you're striking a chord. That's what I was referring to.
Well, I used to love wrestling also when I was a kid. In fact, I went to WrestleMania 3.
That's the greatest ever.
Yes, in Detroit, it was Hulk Hogan and what's the other guy? Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
I was big. I mean, back in the day, I could name all the wrestlers for you.
When Hulk Hogan body slammed.
The Rougeau brothers, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Bobby the Brain Heenan. I knew everybody. I always took exception to why, like, Barry Horowitz was the one that could never compete.
But why?
Take the schlubby Jewish guy. With a record of 3-68, here's Barry Horowitz.
But why do you need to insult the current day wrestling community?
Well, how am I insulting?
You called them goofs.
The whole thing is kind of silly at this point, no?
I mean, listen, but it takes you back to a time, you know?
Takes you back to a time. But Henson, and I think Henson has a good tweet, and I don't even think he intended it to be good. Calling Ric Flair the Nature Man because of his age comes down to one simple fact. Dave isn't a wrestling fan and doesn't get it. Stick to sports. Now, I do get it, but I think stick to sports is fair. Wrestling, not a sport. Right? Can we agree on that? Wrestling is, it's a fun... It's a scripted fun. It's like watching a movie.
Sure. I don't want to downgrade their athletic ability, but yes, in terms, it's not.
Oh, I don't downgrade their athletic ability either. Yes. The athletic movements they're able to make is phenomenal.
Yeah, not a sport though.
But if you know the result before you start, it's now not a sport.
I would agree with that. It's performance. I would never use the term fake
like
some people do. Like some people like to use the term fake, and I always think of like when Roddy Piper went on with Bill Maher and just showed him like his hip replacement scars and all. It's like these guys put themselves through hell.
Never for a second have you heard me say these guys are not athletes. What they do is not phenomenal. But it, let's be fair. It is not a sport. A sport to me is two guys battling for victory, or women or whoever, battling for victory with the result not known beforehand. That's a sport, and I will stand by that. 1-800-919-3776. And can we please not line up the phone calls with everybody being all upset? Oh, we called him the Nature Man. He's the Nature Boy, and I've loved him since I'm 11 years old, and now I'm in my 50s. And what? I get it. It's enough. And now everyone, Rosenberg needs to teach you about wrestling. I'm good. I'm watching real stuff. By the way, speaking of real stuff, Islanders Rangers last night. I mean, did we see this? Can we make mention of this? Just an absolute destruction. Rangers go out there, and the Islanders always playing well. Last time they played at the Garden, Islanders won 3-0, made a statement. Yeah, I think this little baby is over now. And now you start to think with the Rangers of how far can they go? Like, I was of the mindset the Rangers are. It's a great story. Maybe they win a series, but they're really built for the future. I'm beyond that now. Like, I'm at the point of, why not us? Why can the Rangers not be a team that goes on a run starting, we don't know when they exactly start, next Monday or Tuesday, I guess, is the most likely. Now, what we do know, and you can mark this down, so the Rangers have guaranteed themselves no worse than second in their division. So I guess the four teams they could potentially start with, if they finish second in the division, it's either Pittsburgh or Washington. If they win the division, it's either Boston or Tampa. And I don't know why this is. For some reason, I'm like kind of glued. Like, are they going to win the division? Carolina trailed 2-0 last night. Rangers win comfortably. And you think to yourself, all right, they're in good shape. They might take over the division. Does it matter at all? Other than you say, you know, you were 2021, 2022 division champs. Does it mean anything? You could argue you might have the easier road if you don't win the division and you come in second. The one team I will sit here and tell you, and we'll move on to the baseball in just a moment, I don't want any part of is Tampa. So if I need to come in second in the division to not win it and play Tampa in the first round, I'll go there. I don't want any part of the Lightning in round one. 1-800-919-3776. Like we said, we're going to go football frenzy in about 6 minutes from right now. Draft is 6 days away. So we have that. We have what we've seen in free agency. We have a potential Deebo Samuel trade. Joe Douglas, we'll hear from what he has to say in just a little bit as well. I've said this before. I'm the Jets. I think Samuel is more attractive to me than maybe any of these guys because he adds that additional dynamic, right? He adds that dynamic where he is capable of getting the football without having it thrown to him. Metcalf, as great and physical of a freak as he is, needs the ball to be thrown to him. Samuel can line up as a running. He can take a screen pass, take it 25 yards downfield. That's a tremendous crutch for a young quarterback. A tremendous crutch. All right, 1-800-919-3776. We started the show with this 2-plus hours ago, and I want to get back to the baseball. The Mets and the Yankees, obviously. So where are we with these two locals? I stand by it, and I hear a lot of excuses when it comes to the Yankees. And they're going to be fine. Why? Because they're always fine. And I think I stand by that. I do believe the Yankees will be fine. But to look at this team 13 games in, and I get it's a small sample size. But last year was not a small sample size, and this is what they were. And last year, they got to the postseason, and this is what they were. And I think what really frustrates so many Yankees fans is this offseason, they didn't do a lot where you look at it and you say, all right, we're better because of this. In fact, you look at it and you say, we were stagnant. What did the Yankees do this offseason that you look at and you're like, I like that a lot? You kept Rizzo. You added Kiner Falefa. And I can't imagine there's anybody that loves that move. And you added Donaldson. So we were told they're going to upgrade tremendously at shortstop. They didn't. They're going to upgrade tremendously in center. They didn't. And they didn't re-sign Aaron Judge. And now everybody you hear, the experts, and specifically Buster Olney, says they're going to move on from Aaron Judge. So now you're stuck with a very similar team that clearly has flaws, that can't score runs right now. They can't. There's no two ways about it. The Yankees' offense is broken. Now, you want to sit here and say, well, they're broken because the weather? Well, everyone is playing in this weather. So why did the Yankees get to use that as an excuse? You got to play in this weather regardless. You might as well go ahead and put some runs on the board. They can't. So if they lose two out of three this weekend, is it fair to get upset then? Like, I don't know what is appropriate. I'm uncertain what is appropriate, when I can get upset and when I can't. So that's where we are with the Yankees, 7-6. And again, only a game back, but it's not a great start. If I would have told you 2 weeks ago, when did we start the regular season? April 7th? If I would have told you on April 6th, Yankees will be 7-6, will have been shut out multiple times, and will be 3-3 over a six-game span over the Orioles and the Tigers, you would have said no. Now, I'm not signing for that. And then you have the flip side. You have the Mets, who had a tough loss on Wednesday night, show up yesterday afternoon. Carrasco is sensational. Timely hitting. Cannon with a huge 2-RBI single. You get a home run from Escobar. You get a home run from Lindor. It feels like Lindor is the guy you've been waiting for him to be for a very long time. And it feels different. Am I wrong? Am I wrong to sit here and say the Mets and the Yankees feel very differently right now? And I'm not telling you there's a complete shift of the Mets are going to be great and the Yankees are going to be awful, but it just feels like, and from top to bottom, managerial, everything, the Mets are kind of the team that's better at the moment. You know, I was thinking of what phrase do I want to use? Do I want to go that strong? Yes, at the moment, it feels like the Mets are the better team, and I'll leave it at that. 1-800-919-3776. Troy, and let's go all the way down. You can put this on your map, Santy, in South Carolina. Dave, Troy, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, on the backside of the rows. Dave, the checkout ability is kind of like the athletic ability you got. That would be non-existent, pal.
What the hell, Troy?
Tough crowd, right?
You're as miserable as the next guy, and Rick's not even here for this. I will say this. Athletically, at this point in my life, I would agree it's not great. When I was a kid, I was a really good athlete, and I stand by that. There's video proof of that. So I was good.
That's what they say. Hey, look forward to Rick next week, guys. Have a great weekend. Thanks.
That's all you wanted? See, RJ, I think you set me up there. Because in your little call screener blurb, it had all this other stuff he wanted to talk about. And then he gets on the air and he doesn't even make mention of that.
Troy's a great man. I think he brought up some salient points.
That was you.
That was
you
not me.
Put that he wanted to talk about self-checkout. And then he gets into, Dave, you're not an athlete at all.
He did. He said.
You're full of crap.
He said that your self-checkout ability is. Now, I disagree with that, saying that it's parallel to your athletic ability, which is none, which I don't agree with that, but I thought it was funny.
So that's what we are.
If you want to feel a little better, okay. Troy there gives us South Carolina. We've almost got the entire Eastern Seaboard right now.
What are we waiting on?
We're basically waiting on the New England area. We've got Stamford, Connecticut, but nothing north of that.
So we don't go anywhere north of Stamford,
Connecticut? I'm sure we have listeners that are north, but they have not called in. But, I mean, going south, we've got a bunch of people in New Jersey.
I'd like a Maine, a Vermont.
A Maine or Vermont would be fantastic. I see Delaware. We got a Maryland.
Have we crossed off Canada?
We have somebody in Montreal, I believe. Yes, we do.
I'd like Saskatchewan is what I'd like.
Saskatchewan's a little out there.
We're a show that can go anywhere.
If you remember, we had the one guy in Kitchener.
That's Western Canada, right?
No, that's right outside Toronto.
Oh,
so
that's a big hockey hotbed, Kitchener, Canada.
Home of the Kitchener Rangers, I believe.
I think you're right.
Mississauga, right there. That's where Ryan Strome is from. So
you're really knowledgeable with this stuff, huh?
I've learned a lot in the last few years.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy.
You could say that 10,000 times and it still wouldn't be enough.
It fires me up, man.
I love it. Say it one more time.
A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question.
Away we go. I think it's appropriate because we haven't really done a frenzy in a bit that we set the ground rules for everyone. And that is when you frenzy, there's no salutations. Oh, Dave loved the show. Big fan. We miss Rick so much. No, none of it. You get right into it. Raymond, what happens if they start going off on a tangent?
Hey, what's up? It's Jerry.
Exactly. You play the buzzer. And I don't want to treat them like babies today. They know the frenzy. They love the frenzy. It's a popular segment. If you don't play by the rules, you don't get to play. So 1-800-919-3776. I don't know if RJ and Raymond would like to play, but if you would like to play, let me know, and we'll get you on during the frenzy. Away we go, 6 days prior to the draft. You don't know where I'm going. Don't go to him. Put him back on hold. I don't know where I'm going. Let's go to Steve in South Jersey. Steve, you're on the frenzy. Go.
Hey, Dave.
For God's sakes. Right off the bat. No, hey, Dave. No, how you doing? No, love the show. No, longtime fan. Think you and Rick are hysterical. No. RJ, would you like to practice? Raymond, would you like to practice?
Dave, who do you think is going to win the NFC East?
Let me start again. Ray in New York City, you're on the frenzy.
Dave, who's going to win the NFC East this year?
There you go. That's it. That's all you have to do. You want me to actually answer that, or is that just to set it up performance?
It's way too early to answer fairly.
Thank you. Zach Monroe. Zach, you're on the frenzy.
All right. What's your order for the Giants for the first three picks? Offensive tackle, edge, or cornerback, or what's your order?
I don't have a drop dead. It has to be this. It has to be that. I think you need to add a legitimate big-time offensive lineman. You'd like to add an edge rusher. And I don't know. Did they take a Ajabo with that second pick? Well, not seven, like their second-round pick. I know they're going to take a tight end at some point early. It'd probably be too early in the second round. But offensive line, edge rusher, corner are probably the big positions the Giants are going to be interested in here. But it doesn't have to be you have to do this at five. You have to do this at seven. You have to do this at, what are they, 36 maybe? No, there's none of that. You have to be resilient. You have to be able to change on the fly. Not, I am taking this guy too, and I will not answer the phone. Paul in Rockland. Paul, you're on the frenzy.
Any chance the Giants get rid of Kadarius Toney?
I would say that would be very, very slim. Because what are you going to get for – you drafted him last year. He's still on the rookie contract. You see when healthy what kind of a playmaker he is. And you need weapons. And what am I going to get for him? I'm not going to get a one. So now I'm going to trade a guy that was a top 20 pick for what? For a third round pick? For maybe a second round pick? No. Unless this current regime detests him. No. Carmen in Albany. Carmen, you're on the frenzy.
I just want to know what you think about the Raiders this year.
I got to tell you, if you ask me to rank these four teams in that division, I like the Raiders. I wouldn't be shocked if they made the postseason, but I still think they're the fourth team of four. I think the Broncos, Chargers, Chiefs, all better, and a large rationale behind it, the quarterback. Carr's fine, but the other three are just better. Anthony and Hawthorne. Anthony, you're on the frenzy.
Should the Ravens or would the Ravens pursue Debo, and do you think he would fit schematically?
I think he fits anywhere. I don't think there's a place he goes, but yeah, I think that'd be a great fit for him because that's a team that would use him properly. Again, you have to use him properly. You can't just put him and say he's a wide receiver because Debo Samuel, as a wide receiver in its own right, he's good, but he's not great. Like, I don't look at Debo Samuel, the receiver, and say, he's great. I look at Debo Samuel, the all-around player, and say, that's great. He's great. Pete in Bloomfield. Pete, you're on the frenzy.
Saints, 16th pick, 19th pick for the Giants, 5th pick. Do you do it?
No. Not doing it. Mm-mm. If I'm going to trade with someone, and I'm going to give up that 5th pick, you're going to have to give me a lot, and you're going to have to get me back into the first round next year. So I'm going to make a trade with the Saints. Give me 16. Give me a third round pick this year, and give me your number one next year. You're moving up to 5. Obviously, there's someone that you're in love with. And the more these teams drool over the quarterbacks, the better. And you've heard about, right? All of a sudden, Malik Willis, big conversation, top 10. Kenny Pickett, big conversation. Steelers are interested. Saints are interested. Panthers are interested. Great. The more these teams want these young quarterbacks in this current draft, the better it is for the Giants. Corey in Greenwich. Corey, you're on the frenzy.
If I was the Buffalo Bills and you got the 25th pick, let's say you throw in the second pick and the fourth round pick, try to call the San Francisco 49ers for Debo Samuels. Go all in. Just go all in like the Rams did last year. Go all in.
All right, give it to me again. Give it to me again. So what you're giving me 29, the second
25.
And the fourth. What?
25th.
25, the my second round pick and fourth round pick. I got to tell you, I don't think it's enough. I don't think it's enough.
It's worth calling.
You can call. I don't think it's enough. Do you look at Buffalo and say they really need Deebo Samuel? I mean, it's not like you wouldn't want them, but I think there's other positions you probably need. 800-919-3776. All right, now, I'd like to get to him because I like him. And let's give him another opportunity. He's back after being banished earlier. Steve in South Jersey, you're on the Frenzy.
Giants trade their seventh pick and a third to the Jets for their 2 seconds and their 2023 first. Who says no?
So the Giants are trading. RJ, did you get all that? Because that's a lot for me to digest.
I'll just say this. I don't think the Jets were interested in sending their next year's first to the Giants.
If I could get the Jets one next year,
sure, yeah.
I would love to do that,
I'm
yes.
I'm sure you would, yeah.
Because I think there's a very good chance that's going to be a top five selection. Let's go to William in Bridgewater. William, you're on the Frenzy.
Giants trading Bradberry over to Graham and the Raiders. Thoughts on that?
I don't care where he goes, to be honest with you. You know, if Patrick Graham wants him with the Raiders, then you can have him. If the Chiefs want him, they can have him. But it sounds from everything that Joe Shane has said that he is not going to be a Giant come opening day. Muhammad, Long Island. Muhammad, baby, let's go. You're on the Frenzy.
Hey, give me some realistic expectations for the Jets this year.
I don't know. I mean, realistically, I think you're looking at 6-11. If the Jets go 7-10 or better, they've had a sensational season. But the one thing I need is I need the quarterback to show me he's the quarterback of the future. More important than anything else. All right, Santi, blow it, Ted. All right, let's get some analysis and assessment. Overall, how was that Frenzy? Pretty good?
Started a little rough. It was like off-season workouts. You had to get in the flow of things.
But and then by the time we ended?
I thought it was pretty well. We were banging them out.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Yankees, Mets, NFL draft. We didn't really get into it. We will in a minute. Last night in the NBA, which is almost was roast worthy to me for multiple teams. We'll get into that. I didn't do this giveaway yet, did I, RJ? Do I need to do that? Yeah, I do. Don't die. All right, I'll do that in a moment. DPHRO Rothenberg brought to you by Honda. Contact your local Honda dealer for a great deal today. Just a minute. I'm not quite ready yet. Just give me one more minute, and then we'll get to the contest. People are very upset with this whole wrestling thing. And even Santiago, like we're in a break, he's like, you know what I miss? The ladder matches. All those ladder matches. I'm not familiar with the ladder match. He explained it to me. Yeah, the concept seems interesting. I will admit that to you. Concept seems interesting. But how about this? So I used to do nights for a long time. I don't remember how many years. And just to show you, yeah, years ago, good for you. Years ago, just to show you how the mindset and the station and sports radio has changed. Have you ever heard of the wrestler Mankind, Raymond?
Mick Foley.
Yes, Mick Foley. So Mick Foley, I guess, had a book coming out. And Mick Foley's books have been like New York Times bestseller level books. And I don't think you were producing the show. Were you producing the show when he came in studio?
No, because I had to be told this story secondhand.
So Mick Foley wants to come on the show. I don't know whether he liked me or he was available at that time or what it was specifically. But they reached out to us and said Mick Foley would like to come on the show. I, as you know, and we've established, I'm not a huge wrestling guy by any stretch. But Mick Foley, I think, is interesting. And I've heard him interviewed a bunch. And I thought, boy, this is a guy that I would love to have on the show. And I said, let's do it. So we booked Mick Foley. And the show was 7. I don't know. There was a time the show was 7 to 10, and there was a time I was doing 7 to midnight, which almost sounds like a cruel punishment.
I still wonder how you did it.
Yeah. So I think it might have been during the 7 to midnight era of this show. And we booked Mick Foley for like 7:30. And we're all excited. And I remember we were telling like the K-Show, if you could promote then Mick Foley, and they're like, that's great. Good get, good guest, big time author, big time wrestler. Like, that's a interesting guy. What? That's a good get for you guys. So they're like, Mick Foley, 7:30 on the Rothenberg Show. Must listen. Get a call from management. You can't put Mick Foley on at 7:30. Mick Foley, the 10 o'clock hour. Like, what? So, and I guess it wasn't you. Whoever was producing the show reaches out to the Mick Foley party and says, yeah, we'd still love to have you on, but it's like maybe like something like a 10:30, like a 10:45. They're like, what?
In hindsight, what? That's insane. That's insane.
They're like, what? You want Mick? Yeah. So Mick, and he was so gracious and so nice, and I liked him before, and I loved him when he came in studio. We had a great conversation. A wonderful guy.
So
at
he's
10:30 at night. We had Mick Foley.
So he came in 3 hours after he was supposed to.
Yes.
What a guy. I keep hearing about what a great guy he is, but my goodness, that's,
and is nice and generous, like no rush, it's okay, I get it, like just a genuinely nice man. But we weren't allowed to have, my point of the story was, we weren't allowed to have a wrestler on. And is it fair to say at that time maybe the biggest wrestler there is or there was?
No, not the biggest there is, but he was a big time star, like you talked about people knowing Stone Cold, but like, the average person wouldn't know Mick Foley walking in the street, but
I think they would.
Most people that knew sports entertainment, oh, they knew Mick Foley. He was a big star. I'll tell you this,
at least for me, and I can't speak for everyone, if I walked down the street and walked past Steve Austin, Stone Cold Steve Austin, I might know who he was. I probably would. I would definitively know who Mick Foley is. Like, not even a question.
Well, he has a certain look.
Yeah, he's got a great look. So, my point, Eddie's like a doting father, like nothing like you would expect him to be. My point is this. Not so long ago, wrestling was like, we would like to have the guy on at 7:30. No, 10:30. Now, 3:45, you can have any wrestler you want. And it just goes to show you how things have changed at the station and around sports and entertainment. 1-800-919-3776. What are you saying?
You should get him on again.
I would love to. He was a terrific guest. Why do you guys book that? See, now there's dead silence.
The hardcore legend from Long Island.
Yeah. He's a Long Island guy, just like me.
Big Stony Brook supporter, I hear.
Stony Brook Athletics?
Yes.
Nice. So get him on. You guys won't do it.
You could do it. I would love to have
him. You say RJ is like gone. Is RJ like hiding in the bathroom now? RJ won't say a word.
He was very quiet.
Yeah, what do you want from me? You want me to track down Mick Foley?
I want you to book Mick Foley.
Hand over some contact information.
I don't have that. I mean, you are the producer of the show. That is well within what you're supposed to do on the show, no?
That's debatable.
So now, all right, you know what? Fine. I'll do the research.
There you go.
I mean, I host the show by myself anyway. I might as well. Let me do it all.
I agree.
Without you, the show
I'm going to be like a one-arm paper hanger at one point. Now, if I press this button, the mic goes on. I hit this, the commercials go. Let me produce the show. I'll get the reads. I'll get the sound. I'll get it all. I'll host it. I'll do everything.
Would you?
I better be careful. They're going to actually have me do like, Dave, can you do a solo show on Saturdays? Well, I do. No. Actually a solo show. Where you run the board, you produce it, and you host it. Could you do that? That'll be in my next contract. All right, 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Good morning, Ira.
Hey, good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm really well. Thank you for asking. I think you care.
I do. Of course I do. I care about my friends. So, I want Rick, of course, hopefully he's feeling better. So Douglas spoke a little. I know you're going to get to it, but I'm sure you saw the story. Now, I understand there's different circumstances with players. They're coming off of injuries. But Becton has been away from this organization for close to a year, okay? He's had a year to recuperate. I know he has a personal trainer, but if I'm Joe Douglas, I'm livid that this guy doesn't show up for off-season.
I think I had a full-on rant the other day. It might have been yesterday. Who can remember at this point? About Kadarius Toney. You have a new coaching staff, and you don't show up. Shame on you. I feel almost the same about Mekhi Becton. What? Unless there's a reason we don't know, and if there is,
right?
You know, I totally get it. Fine, but unless there's a reason, Ira, that we don't know, for you to not show up after going down with an injury, which a lot of people question why you couldn't come back late in the season last year, it's a really bad look for Becton.
It's a really bad look. And to me, you know, I know you're going to get to the draft. They're flip-flopping between an offensive tackle and a pass rusher.
Yeah.
To me, that's the clincher. If I could get my hands on a corner or Neil, that's the guy I take. I'm not saying I'm moving on from Becton, but he's letting his teammates down. He's letting the organization down.
Couldn't agree more.
He's letting himself down.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, now, Ira, I saw this yesterday, and I didn't kind of just run across it from some like weird blog. I forget who it was, and I would give him credit if I could, if I remember. But it was someone like legitimate saying Jets take an elite offensive lineman for trade Becton. He's not on the roster to start the season. That would they thought was a real possibility. How would you feel about that?
I proposed that months ago. I would take that. I would do if I could recoup a second or third round pick for Becton, because I know I just got to start offensive tackle, I'd do it in a second. But with that said, okay, I'm talking both sides of my mouth. I have to have a veteran tackle to bring in case my rookie or in case Fant get hurt, because they're very thin. Connor McDermott doesn't cut it as your third tackle. So, and you know what?
You mean like a Morgan Moses kind of guy?
Which I was all in on trying to bring back, but the Jets didn't want to bring him back. I don't know what the deal was.
Yeah, interesting. All right, Ira, thanks for the phone call. Speaking of Joe Douglas, I promised you we would take a listen. Let's take a listen. Here he is discussing Mekhi Becton missing the offseason program.
Mekhi's not here. Mekhi's back in Dallas.
Why is he not participating?
Well, these are voluntary, just in terms of Mekhi. We've had great dialogue and discussion back and forth with his medical team back in Dallas. So we're on top of everything with him right now. Again, these are voluntary sessions with the team.
All right. So he kind of plays the good soldier, but it doesn't sound like he's thrilled about it. Let's get to some of the calls, and we'll hear one more soundbite from Joe Douglas. And I didn't forget RJ. RJ, what works for you, actually? When do you want me to do the giveaway? Now or in 5 minutes from now?
How about right now?
Right. All right. MLB The Show 22 out right now and ready to play on PlayStation, Xbox, and for the very first time, Nintendo Switch. Create your dream team in Diamond Dynasty. Play with your favorite legends, flashbacks, and current players all on the same team. Plus a new commentary team as John Shambi and Chris Singleton join the show as new voices of MLB The Show. Get it now for PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo consoles at theshow.com. Rated E for everyone to win your copy on Xbox Series X. Just be caller number. What caller, RJ, would you like? Would you like one?
No.
Two?
Yes.
Number two, 888-987-ESPN. You see how nice that was of me?
You're mad at the people.
Well, I don't know about that. And I think in return, you book Mick Foley for the show. Mankind.
All right.
All right, James in Flushing. Good morning, James. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Dave. How are we doing today?
Oh, we're doing really well. Thank you.
The issue with Mekhi Becton, he has a child on the way. His wife is 37 weeks pregnant. That definitely has a role in the reason that he is not
showing
up.
Let me ask you this, James. How do you know that has a role? Did he tell you that?
Connor McGovern is not in also. His wife is also about 38, 39 weeks pregnant. If his issue is the same as Becton's, then we should be treating
would be very simple. Why not come out and say he's not here because he's with his wife who's on the verge of giving birth, and I think all the questions go away. No?
I agree. That would be a simple solution, but I'm unsure as to why he's staying quiet about it. But yes, I do agree with that. That makes a lot of sense.
I mean, and you could, and again, you never judge someone like this, and thanks for the call. You couldn't travel. And then if something were to, it's not, now 37 weeks, it's not like she's not going to give birth any day. And if she's on the verge of it, fine. Then say that. Say is I don't know, wife, girlfriend, whatever she is, she's pregnant, she's on the verge of giving birth, and because of that, we've excused him. They didn't say that. Instead, they, well, these are voluntary, and he doesn't have to be here. I'm sorry, that's a bad look. It's a bad look not to come to voluntary workouts. Especially if it's a new coaching staff. Especially if you barely got through last season healthy. Kadarius Toney. Bad look. More from Joe Douglas on the goals for this coming season for the Jets.
When you break it down to the keeping the main things, it's going to be about developing and helping our young quarterback. Outside of that, it's about adding as many difference makers as you can to the roster and making sure that they fit within the culture and the scheme that we're trying to provide. And then probably the third and most important thing is keeping those guys healthy, keeping them on the field as long as we can.
Listen, the key for the Jets is to develop the quarterback, and it's amazing that this league, that this game has now come to that, but that's what this is. I mean, do you realize that if Zach Wilson is really, really good, the Jets are set up for a long time, and if Zach Wilson is really, really bad, that they are in huge trouble? Like, I'm not saying like kind of trouble. If Zach Wilson can't play the position, and I don't know that he can or can't, right? We'll watch him play this year and see what he's capable of doing. If he can't play that position, he'll be gone. Douglas will be gone. Saleh will be gone. And you'll have to start from square one in 2 years down the road. I mean, you know what you'll be? You'll be the Giants is what you'll be. Year four, Daniel Jones, don't pick up the option. We don't know. We don't know. We'll give him a year. We'll bring in a legitimate backup. Like, the Giants are an absolute no man's land. And you don't want to be that if you're the Jets. It's the last thing you want to be. Giants are a disaster. Now, it feels like they've started to right the ship. I agree with that, and I think that they have. But right now, no, who would want to be the Giants? You don't have a quarterback. You don't have any financial stability. But you have the hope of change. Is what I think makes the Giants fan somewhat excited right now. All right, let's get into the NBA from last night. So we had three games. I told you that day, Denver can't beat Golden State. They just don't have the talent. Jokic had a monster game. He had like, what, 38 and 17 or something like that. They can't beat them. Golden State is too good. It'll be a sweep, and it should be fine. And then you have Dallas. Now, this is where I was thinking about potentially going with a rant. Dallas and Utah. And Dallas, not only that, like their best player, clearly, a top player in the world right now is not playing. And you're Utah and you're home. And that's what you give. You win game one. You blow game two. You're awful in game three. Now, I'm of the mindset that Donovan Mitchell is going to say, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying with this organization. But my God, I mean, if he was ever going to, I guess if you're a fan of moving on from Donovan Mitchell and you have this pipe dream as a Knicks fan of let's bring him here, just root for epic collapse. And that, you know, they're halfway there to be getting blown out and losing games. At home to Dallas, where you're not even overly competitive and they don't have Doncic, is an embarrassment. But speaking of embarrassment, I mean, Minnesota, so much so. And I yell at my kids all the time because they have this stupid thing where this game's over. Mets are up 4-1 in the eighth. You know what, Dad, this game's over. And I've had like serious conversation with them. Guys, stop saying the game is over because it's not over. Well, yeah, John Winthrop acting like my children last night. Our assistant program director on the group text. Oh, A-Rod looks so happy. Minnesota's up by 20. Blah, blah, blah. This game's over. And then Memphis spits in the face of John Winthrop and says, not so fast. They go on quite possibly the most outrageous and epic run in the history of basketball. Now, I'm sure someone will say there's been something more, and I'm sure there has. You're down 27 points late stages of the third quarter, and you go on a 50-13 run. I am telling you, it is as embarrassing as I've ever seen from any team ever. I even remember who won this game, but I remember that it was the Nets and the Celtics. And you guys will remember too. And I'm guessing it's like 2002-ish. And I don't remember who won and who lost. But someone, and I think I have the score right, someone was winning the game 68-41. And a buddy of mine called and said, let's go out. This game's over. And I said, let me just watch a little more to make sure. Whoever trailed by 27 came back and won the game. Don't ever say a game is over, firstly. And secondly, what an awful loss for Minnesota. I've actually been underwhelmed with Memphis so far in this postseason. What an awful, grotesque loss for Minnesota. And there is my little rant on the NBA postseason. Santi, the floor is yours.
Today's three stars. Number three.
All right, I'm going to start off here. We learned a lot about wrestling today. But I want to stress once again, Ric Flair's nickname is not the Nature Man, Dave.
The Nature Man.
No, not the Nature Man. The Nature Boy. That's what he's known as a character. That's what he's known as for many, many years in the squared circle. And that is what he will be known as many, many years from now when many of us are gone and dead, and as you know.
I will stand by this. It was a nice nickname. It made sense for a long time. At some point, you have to turn the page and admit that Father Time is catching up. I think we should take this on the station and make him officially the Nature Man.
Eh, why bother calling him anything at all, I say, if you're going to go down that road.
Number two.
Just do your three stars.
And get number, here, then. Number two, and on a positive note, Rick DiPietro appears to be on the mend. He was taking a great part in the botcherous chat chain last night, so I'm very proud of him. Hopefully he will be back Monday. I think all roads point to him being back. Side note, as I was leaving the arena last night, I did see a young man in an older DiPietro jersey. Said he had it from as a kid. Big fan. Noah and Merrick, Rick will be back soon.
Number one.
Number one's going to go to you, Dave, because you have done a fantastic job being free-range Rothenberg this week in the absence of Rick. So I just want to give you a round of applause, pat on the back, whatever it is that makes you feel good. You know, I've gotten you agitated a few times this week. You took the extended segments in the 5 o'clock hour, and you know, maybe try to avoid doing that in the future. But, you know, good job all around by you.
Oh, that's very nice. Puts me in a great mood to speak to one of my favorites. From KJM in just a moment, comes your way on 98.7 ESPN. He is Jay Williams. Jay, good morning to you. How are you, my friend?
What up, D? I'm bringing the energy today. It's Friday. We got big games coming up tonight and this weekend. I'm like a kid in a candy store, baby.
I like it. Now, we never got into this. And quickly, I want you to tell me, and then I'll move on to the Nets, which seems like a disastrous situation. Your fancy Brooklyn Nets. Oh, are you a Mets fan or a Yankees fan?
I'm leaning towards the Mets.
Oh, so you're a free agent?
I kind of been here. Here's the situation, Dave. You know, since I've been listening to your show now way more every day on my ride in, even on weekends, I'm starting to become obsessed.
You're a great
it's
man.
Kind of weird. Yeah. And then Max is a diehard Yankees fan. Key is a diehard Dodgers fan. I never really grew up on one side or the other, but I mean, Steve Cohen has invited me to the box. I've thrown out the first pitch at the Mets game. I just feel like it's more of the people that I rock with on a day-to-day basis. I feel like the Mets and I are vibing.
Here's
and
what I would like to do. Yeah. Here's what I would like to do.
Talk to me.
You can take it. You can leave it. It's up to you. I would like to treat you to a Mets game at some point. We go break bread. If Rick wants to come, that would be great as well. And we really fully get you ensconced in Citi Field and Mets fandom.
I am all about this. So now we have two family commitments because I have to see your son.
Yeah, you're going to coach. You're going to coach the
I'm going to coach a game.
Basketball.
Yes, yeah, so you have to let me know. Please DM me the schedule. I need to know the schedule because I'm bringing the heat, and I'm all about the Mets experience. I'm all right about it. I'm in.
Let's get it done. Now, I know you're a Brooklyn Nets fan.
I am. You've been dying to talk to me about this, haven't you?
No, I want you because I respect your opinion. I respect your opinion when it comes to the basketball, especially the NBA. I mean, Steve Nash looks like he's overwhelmed in this series, doesn't he?
Because he is overwhelmed, Dave. And you know whose fault that is? That's KD and Kyrie's.
I agree.
Because they picked him to be this guy. So when I hear KD at the post presser say, you know, I'm getting checked every time I come across the lane. Some random guy's hitting me. I'm turning up. I'm facing. You know, they're stunting at me in different looks defensively. I have guys. I turn. I see three guys. I'm like, yeah, because that's called scheming. And you know what you need as a great offensive elite player in the playoffs? You need a coach on the sideline that can help you scheme against all the counter schemes that you're getting defensively from Ime Udoka. And this is my problem I'm having. When the ball goes into KD and Kyrie's hands, just watch the offense. Go back and watch the tape. It becomes stagnant. Everybody watches. Meanwhile, I see Boston. You're getting back cuts. You're getting flare screens. You're getting continuity in their movement, which keeps you honest defensively. And that's my problem I have with where the Brooklyn Nets are. And this whole conversation around the greatest player in the world, what I saw the other day for Kevin Durant was embarrassing. I agree with Stephen A. And my thing, it's time for KD to go next level. I don't want to hear excuses at the post presser. I want to see game on the court.
I like it. I love the analysis. One more quick one, and then you'll tell me what is coming up. Do you see Brooklyn winning game three tomorrow?
They better win game three. And look, I'm the one that started this whole conversation about KD and Kyrie being the most skilled duo to ever play. And you know what's happening? People are ripping into my ass saying, oh, look at your most skilled duo. Doesn't mean that they're the most winning duo. So you know what? This is not the Lakers, but it's winning time. It's winning time, Brooklyn. It's time for KD and Kyrie to go next level. It's time for Steve Nash to coach this team up. They got all the bench points from Goran Dragic, Bruce Brown. You can't ask anything else from your complimentary players. Your star players cannot go 1 of 17 down the stretch in a critical game. Can't.
You have a bouncy 10 seconds. What's coming up in just a moment here on your show on 98.7?
I mean, I know the Yankees are trying to win the game. I mean, but was that done on purpose? Because if it was, Dave, I like it.
Oh, I like that saucy.
I like
all right,
it.
Coming your way in just a moment. KJM, Jay, have a great weekend, buddy.
All right, brother.
All right, that's us. That's it for the week. Rick will be back hopefully Monday. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. Good job today, Dave. It's Dave Rothenberg and
the Nature Man.
Yeah, 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.